following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning again, folks. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege and the joy of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. So as you have heard, we are beginning the season of Lent. And to kind of give us a picture of what that looks like, Stephen is going to play a video for us. So I think that helps give us a little bit of a picture of what Lent is about. And so a couple of the questions that I want to answer. First of all, why are we talking about Lent? Why are we engaging in this season of Lent? I know that for me growing up, this was a season that my church was a part of. But I know that for many, this is something that's like, well, this is Catholic and we... Like, we're not Catholic, and so why are we engaging in this? This goes back beyond that. This is a practice that is written about as early as the second century after Christ. It is written down in this form, this 40-day form, since the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th century. So this is something that is old and something that is at the heart of the Christian faith. And it's this practice of self-examination, a practice of repentance, practice of fasting, and about really intentionally finding time to spend more time with the Lord. It's been interesting, and you know full well that lots of times I will reference Facebook, whether you love that or don't love that. That's where I find interaction with people kind of around the world. And it's been fascinating for me to see people talking about Lent, my peers and friends and colleagues all over the world. And they have looked forward to this time of Lent, which seems like a little bit of a weird thing to look forward to, right? There's some sense of, well, we're walking towards the cross. Should we be looking forward to that? And I think a big part of why people have been looking forward to this so much is because it is a chance to jumpstart our practices. It's a chance to jumpstart and to recommit ourselves to spending time with God. We have the church year that is a way for us to refocus in different ways at different times. And Lent is one of those key times where we are able to refocus ourselves to spending time with God. It gives us the chance to try new rhythms. If there is, you know, something, fasting or different types of prayer or gathering and Bible reading, if there are things that, I need to find the right time, it didn't quite work when I made the New Year's resolution in January, well, here's another great time to try it. Maybe it's a practice that you did last year or the year before and have been doing over and over and over, and that's one of the things that you find great life and great joy in. Well, this is a great time to do that. Maybe it's a chance to try again when you failed halfway through last year in your Lent commitment. But it is a chance for us together, not just as Emmanuel, but as the whole church, to prepare for Good Friday and then for the joy of Easter Sunday. One of the quotes that I found in my preparation is from a book called Bread and Wine. It's Readings for Lent and Easter. And this quote is that Lent was first popularized in the 4th century. And Lent is traditionally associated with repentance of sin, fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. It's a time for giving things up, balanced by giving to those in need. Yet whatever else it may be, Lent should never be morose, an annual ordeal during which we begrudgingly forego a handful of pleasures. Instead, we ought to approach Lent as an opportunity, not a requirement. After all, it is meant to be the church's springtime, a time when out of the darkness of sin's winter, a repentant, empowered people emerges. No wonder one liturgy refers to it as this joyful season. Put another way, Lent is the season in which we ought to be surprised by joy. Our self-sacrifices serve no purpose unless by laying aside this or that desire, we are able to focus on our heart's deepest longing, unity with Christ, in his suffering and death, his resurrection and his triumph. That is where we find truest joy. So I invite us as a church family to observe Lent in a couple different ways. You can find an opportunity in your own lives to spend more time with God. And I'm going to leave it that vague because I think it should be about what you need to do to spend more time with God. Kristen referenced the Lenten Reader. That is one thing that is wonderful and is available to you. And he'll maybe be mad at me for telling you all this, but our own Rich Drinovs wrote one of the devotionals in there. So it is Canada-wide. There's even some folks from the States, but it's also as close to home as that, which is a really cool thing. You'll notice that our banners on either side have changed color. And purple, and part of why I'm wearing purple this morning is because purple is a color of Lent. Some of you knew that. Some of you are like, oh, I just like Eric's purple shirt. And maybe today he won't be matching his shirt with 6 other people at church. But I invite you to find ways to enter into Lent. And a cool thing about this is, so last week we talked about stories, right? We talked about it, and then we shared a lot of stories. It was amazing to me how many stories were shared. The worship team knows full well that I was kind of scrambling and like very nervous and had my list of, well, here's what I'm going to talk about, you know, when, if people don't come up. I got an email that Gabby wasn't feeling well, and she was one of the people I like, you know, knew was going to be there. So I had like a couple that were set and I was good to go. And then I got that email and, oh no, I should have had a lot more faith. But it was a great time to share the ways that God was moving in and through us, share stories with one another. This Wednesday, I met with the Covenant pastors in the Lower Mainland. There's actually 8 of us in the area. So there's Andy at Green Timbers, and then there's a number of others who you may or may not know who have either served churches in the area or are serving as chaplains or are in new ministries or other types of ministries. But it's a really fun time to be able to gather together. We try to get together quarterly. And one of the things that Andy, who has been kind of rounding us up, that's not the word, but getting us together, put out to us before we got together, was to think about and to share with each other what our Lenten practices are. So what kind of things we found that could deepen our Lenten time together. And the refrain that kept coming up for pretty much everybody was this idea of finding ways to enter into the story. Finding ways to enter into Christ's death, his walk towards Jerusalem in this season. That it was about trying to enter the story. And it was kind of funny. There was a book that was mentioned called Find Yourself in the Bible. And they assumed quite fairly that I had never read it because, as you can kind of tell from the cover, it was published 10 years before I was born. I mean, like, just look at that design. It's straight out of the 70s. But it's written by kind of one of the big names in the Covenant Church history, Carl Olson. He was a president of North Park College. He is the historian who wrote a book called By One Spirit that's about this thick that we're supposed to read for our Covenant history class, and I absolutely read all of. I read pieces of it. But it's this idea of finding yourself in the Bible. Finding yourself in biblical stories. And so he walks through a bunch of stories and the ways that he has engaged in those stories and found himself to be a part of that. And so it was really neat to be able to say, well, actually, I have heard of this book and I own it because I got to work at the Covenant bookstore and I knew what books weren't leaving the Covenant bookstore because no one ordered them or knew they existed anymore. And so I put a pile of those together before I left to come here and asked the bookstore manager, hey, can I take these books? And he was very happy for me to get those books off of his shelf. But it's been cool to think about that and to read bits and pieces of that even since Wednesday. But the reason they talked about finding ways to enter the story is because Lent is a perfect time to be able to do that. Lent is a great opportunity to enter into Jesus' story, and the text that we'll read today is a wonderful text for us to step into. It's one that resonates with us very well. And so let me pray for us, and we will enter into God's word together. I'm actually going to pray the prayer that was the song that was in the background. Most merciful God, forgive us. Forgive us for all the things we have done and for all the things that we have left undone. Son of God, rescue us. Son of God, rescue us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So we're going to be reading from Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand. Dave would be happy to bring you one, either for today or to keep. So John 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone.'" The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus was brought out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, which may seem like a bit of a bizarre thing. Why would Jesus be led into the wilderness? And we see there in the wilderness that Jesus is tempted by three specific things by the devil. The first is provision, bread. How hungry Jesus must have been in 40 days of not eating. And then fame. I'll give you the splendor of all of the nations. All of them. All of them. And then finally, power and protection. Saying that the angels will take care of you. If you jump off the temple, the angels will take care of you. But do you know what's missing from each of those things that the devil tempts Jesus with? And they are evident in Jesus' answer to all of those. It's God. Ultimately, what the devil is tempting Jesus with is separation from God. You can do all of this. I can have you do all of this on your own. I'll let you do this. You don't need God for this. And Jesus knew better. Jesus knew that none of this, none of what he was called to do, none of who he is, none of what he was ultimately walking towards could be done without God. Jesus knows that God must remain in all that he does. And so he makes clear to the devil in this time the need for God. Jesus is in the wilderness, and that is a place that I think each of us can identify with in some form, right? There is the wilderness of the desert, and that's what we see when we read the story. Jesus leaving the Jordan, leaving the green around the Jordan River to go into the desert, and that's where he's tempted. The desert, there's nothing around. It's dry, it's lifeless, probably silent. And there he finds temptation to do something about those things, to do something about there being nothing around, no sustenance and provision. But that's not the only type of wilderness that there is. There's the wilderness of the forest, right? Where there is a ton of things going on. We live in a rainforest region. And there's trees, and there's animals. And there's all of these things that are barriers to being able to see far ahead. Sometimes they're barriers from being able to see just a few feet in front of you. But that is a very distinct and scary type of wilderness, when you're so surrounded by things that you cannot see far enough in front of you. You can't get out of your own way. There are barriers in front of you. There are distractions of birds and maybe a little rustling of animals and the wind and smells in the wilderness of the forest. And maybe those things in this season are the wilderness that you're dealing with. Distractions of work and of media, of internet, of friendships. The barriers that we put up in our lives that don't allow us to see fully who God is because we're in the wilderness of the forest. There's the wilderness of loneliness and of isolation. Feeling like there's no one that we can relate to. There's no one who is going through, who is in the same wilderness that I am in right now. Not sure how that we can share in this wilderness experience. And so in that, we begin to rely on ourselves. We rely on our own strengths. We try to do it alone. We fall into the temptations that the devil offers Jesus here. And Jesus reminds us that we are not alone, that we don't have to go this alone, that we are not in the wilderness alone, that God is with us every step of the way. Jesus reminds us to go to the Word as he quotes the Word to the devil. Jesus reminds us of the need for the presence of God, to invite the presence of God into all that we're doing. And for me, this Lenten season means that we're not alone because of the church. We're not alone in the wilderness because we are walking in the wilderness with one another. There are others who are in this wilderness with us. I think it's fascinating how popular those wilderness survival shows are. You know, the guy who gets dropped in the middle of nowhere with, I mean, if it's the office version, it's a roll of duct tape and a knife. But sometimes, you know, the minimal supplies and they have to find their way out somewhere else. And I mean, they're fascinating shows. And I've, you know, certainly like got drawn in by like the drama of it and the harrowing escapes that they make and all of that. But it's so untrue to our reality because we don't have to be in those places alone. Whether they're the physical wilderness of being dropped by a helicopter into the rainforest or whether it's the wilderness of going through something in our own lives, something that we're struggling with, a sin or a pain or a sorrow or grief or a difficult decision, none of those wildernesses have to be entered alone. There are too many people around us to be able to enter those wildernesses with us, for us to allow that to be what we see on TV. And so I invite you in this season to remember that you are not in whatever wilderness you are in alone. That you have God, that God desperately wants to be in that wilderness with you, and that you have a whole family, not just Emmanuel, but believers all around the world who are in the wilderness with you. And so that's why I love the season of Lent. That's why we're going to be engaging in the season of Lent together. As the reminder of the wilderness, as a reminder of who God is in the midst of that wilderness, and as a reminder of the fact that we are a part of something far greater than ourselves, than this church family, than our denomination, that we are a part of the church globally. To close, I'm going to use the words from Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, which is actually the beginning of the psalm that the devil quotes to Jesus. But it's incredible the ways that the devil forgets these parts that I think are far too important for us to forget. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Merciful God, accompany our journey these days of Lent. Renew us in the gift of baptism, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.